New Testament in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. If you write, reading from the King James Bible, book of James, chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. And if you could, if you read it, then just follow me silently and as I read it aloud for you in the King James Bible. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, that is you and me, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation or difficulties or hardship of life, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have the perfect work, that you may be able, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But if you cannot understand it, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given unto him. Heavenly Father, it's all about you, it's not about us. May we ask for that you illumine our mind, give us understanding and the heart to believe. Lord, may we honor you through the preaching of your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may all be seated. A cross-reference of my text tonight, aside from the book of James, I look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and I'd like to read it for you. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that are pertaining unto life. And I like to say, my friend, my Bible and your Bible also says, you and I are given all things that pertain unto life, that is in godliness. God has granted us the divine power, everything that we need to meet all the demand in a way that we will please God. You already have it, and I already have it. But the problem of this passage that God said we already have it, we are already equipped from the time we got saved, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. God has provided all our need. But the problem is, if you do not know that you have it, then you will not know where to look for it. Let me explain it in some situation. When the sperm of a man enters the egg of a female, life is born. There is a conception of life. The problem is that life is still undeveloped life. But everything that the baby is going to be in the is there in the DNA of conception is already there. The act of conceiving, the first formation of the embryo or fetus, you do not have to look for the arm, you don't have to look for the feet, you don't have to look for the eye. Although you cannot see it, it is there in the DNA. It is already built in the conception. You don't have to look for adolescence, you don't have to look for adulthood, everything, it's already there. The only thing that stops you from knowing whether it will be a male or a female, or all the idiosyncrasies of what the baby will come out, the only thing that will stop it is, in the development, is the word development. Lack of development made you think that it is not there. The lack of development will reveal everything that was deposited in the conception of that baby. By this divine power granted to us, everything that we need. Let me put it this way. After you and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, been forgiven of our sin, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God's desire, God's design, when we accepted it in the day, is for you and for us to grow. When you as a parents, when you have a baby born, your desire for that baby, for that child, is to grow. And in order for that to grow, for the child, it has to grow through a lot of development and a lot of testing in life. My friend, if we will have to turn the victory into sorrows and the negativity to positive, I'd like you to take notice one more time, the book of James chapter 1. Let me repeat it again to you, please. My brethren, it says now here, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. That puzzles me a little bit. Why will you be joyful when you run into difficulties of life, tribulation, sickness, struggling about here and there in life, and yet the Word of God, it says right there, count it all joy. But immediately in verse 2, the Word of God answers that question. Knowing this, so that the problem of life, the situation, the struggle, and everything, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And it says there, but let patience have her perfect work, that it may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So again, it has something to do with your faith and my faith. Again, when we run into difficulties of life, when problem comes into our life, it is how you look at the problem, how you perceive the problem, that is important. Otherwise, you will not be able to respond properly. Many times, we think of a problem as a problem. But in reality, the problem really was not the problem. Because when you make the problem a problem, then the problem that is not a problem will become a problem, because you make the problem a problem and it's not a problem. And then look at the Word of God. Lord, is that a problem? No, it is not a problem. Look again in the verse in the book of James. This is not a problem. This is a test. If you will look at it, it is how you look at it. It is not actually a problem the way you perceive it. It is a test of life. It is not something to knock us down, to put us down, to make life difficult, but to prepare us for to the blessing of God when He poured His blessing upon us. Look at the reality of problem that we will look at it. Problem is basically are universal all over the world. You know, you have that. It is unavoidable. How you wish you can avoid it, but you can't. It is unpredictable. You don't know when it will happen. It is unlimited. How you wish you only have some little problem, but again, you cannot control it. But the Word of God said, rejoice. In a relative verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Word of God said, rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul, again, made the repetition to put emphasis on it. He said, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I said rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The Word of God said, rejoice in the Lord. You don't rejoice in your problem. Rejoice in the Lord in spite of your problem that you are going through, in spite of the sickness and illness, in spite of the family situation. You rejoice because you are in the Lord. God had promised He will never leave you nor forsake thee. And God said, all things work together for good. So nothing happened to put us down. He said, all things, the purpose is for good, to develop, to help us grow in the things and the knowledge and the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Word of God says, rejoice. Nehemiah 8:10. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorry, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. I don't know if you are doing some household chores. Sometimes, again, Monday, you go to work, you haven't begun yet doing something, you feel tired already. But do you know what joy will do? If you are joyful, you have just begun working, and you just keep going and keep going, because there is joy. But imagine if you have just begun doing something, and your mood is bad, you just feel bad, and there is no joy. It is difficult to accomplish something without the joy. But it is important for us to realize the power of the joy of the Lord, because that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that will help us keep going and keep going. John chapter 16, verse 33. In the world, the word God said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Again, tribulation, and God said, hey, be of good cheer. Why? Because God said in that passage, because I have overcome the world. So God is with us all the way through, to lift us up, to help us, the Holy Spirit, who is our helper and our comforter, so we can be able to keep going and going for the Lord's glory. So first of all, is we have to realize in a reality of problem. Not only problem is real, which is, again, let me correct it, a test. But the reason for all these difficulties is in verse 3. The trying of your faith worketh patience. For without faith, again, that being tested is faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You and I, in the book of Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. This is not of yours, it is a gift of God, so that no one will boast. The Lord Jesus Christ, the time when Peter is being knocked down by Satan, in the book of Luke 22, verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Peter, Satan wanted to knock you down, but I am praying for you that your faith will not fail. My friend, it is important that we have to realize, even the disciple, when they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, teach us to pray and increase our faith. It is important, even Paul said, that I may not just finish well and run well, but I must be able to keep my faith well. At the end of the day, when we will be meeting the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, I believe it will not be a question of how big a church we have, what accomplishment we have, what we have in this life. But I believe the one question of the Lord Jesus Christ is, will I find faith? It is a question of faithfulness. Whatever we have accomplished, we didn't truly accomplish it. It was all accomplished by God and by His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. We were just the tool and instrumental in being able to do that and accomplish that. So we have nothing to boast about it. It is still a question of our relationship with God. Will He find faith? Problem is a test. Tithing is a test. Prayer meeting is a test. Reading your Bible is a test. Soul winning is a test. There are many things in life. It is a test in life. Malachi chapter 3. It is a test. Prove me. God said, test. My thoughts, we need to pass the test of life. Problem are a test. Then problem is also a teacher. And I think problem is also a tenderizer. As a pastor and as a preacher, sometimes we are asked to make a call for hospital call for a friend or somebody who are ill or that needed prayer. Or I was once asked to visit somebody that is in a critical condition in the hospital. But this guy that they wanted me to visit was agnostic and does not believe anything about God. Nevertheless, I went for the sake of the invitations. So I did. As I entered the room of that sick man, and I could hear his agony. He was just in great pain. I could hear him, oh, Oh, and then I begin to hear his voice. He said, "Oh my God, oh, I thought he doesn't want to speak about God, but all of a sudden he say, 'Oh my God,' and then when the relative was in the room, said, 'We have a preacher here, a minister wanted to pray for you,' and he began to say, open his eyes, said, 'Preacher, please pray for me.' I thought he doesn't want to talk about God and pray. My friend, sometimes when we run into difficulties of life, God, it's a tenderizer. God wanted to knock down, humble us, to realize without God, we can't do nothing. So problem sometimes is a tenderizer, a teacher, and a test by life. So it is important again about those faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. From the time we got saved, we will begin to live until the Lord comes. Our life will be living by faith. And again, I remember Luke 22:31, the Lord said, Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. In book of Matthew 14, verse 31, when Apostle Peter, they were in the boat with the rest of the disciple, and they were being tossed to and fro by the wave of the sea and the strong wind, and they saw, they thought it was a ghost, but they said, "Is that you, Lord?" And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Yes, it is I." And Peter wanted to experience the greatness, the miracle of God. He asked, "Lord, can I come?" And the Lord said, "Come." But in order for Apostle Peter to experience the miracle and the impossible things in life, he has to step out of the boat. He has to get out of the boat for you and for me to be able to experience the greatness and the goodness and the impossibility of life. We need to get out of our comfort zone, get out of the things that is hindering us in serving the Lord. We have to move that. And Peter was able to walk while his eyes is focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow! Could you imagine? The impossible was being made possible. For one good reason, he was focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as the wind was blowing stronger and stronger, and the waves of the sea, he was distracted. For a moment, he began to start looking in the left and the right, and saw the problem of the waves and the wind, the problem of life, and he was distracted. He was out of focus. He began to sink. Some 20 years ago, I was driving a Chevette with my son, Michael, somewhere in Telegraph, Michigan, in the crossing of Maple, I cannot forget the place, Maple Road. While driving a Chevette car, our car is loaded with some things because we are helping a brother in the Lord to move some of their things elsewhere. And I was the one driving. And while driving, a fly entered into the car. It was inside the car. I'm talking about not the small fly, but the big fly, the one that buzzed. And while driving, I cannot contain myself and concentrate because the driving. And I have a newspaper beside me and I like to hit the fly. Zoom! I miss the fly. I start driving. But the fly keep buzzing. Hit it again. Miss it again. I said, how could I drive? I need to kill this fly. And drive. And then, oh, finally I got the fly. I killed the fly. The moment I killed the fly, I hit the car before me. Because I was out of focus. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Let your eyes be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Because if you are not focused and you begin to look at the problem and difficulties of problem, you begin to sink like Peter. You begin to run and bump into other car and mesmerize things in your life because we are not focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, we need to have our focus. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, and then you remember Peter? One thing I like, I like Peter, his humility and accepting and realizing when he begin to sink, he begin to focus back on God. Lord, save me. And automatically, the hands of God have lifted the lamb. A righteous man will fall 7 times, but he will not be utterly cast down because he will be lifted up by the hand of God. It's not a question of falling. It's not a question of being sidetracked or distracted. It is a question of rising up. Automatically, Peter realized that he needed to be awakened and refocus again on the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, God lifted up his hand. And I thank God for that. But again, as I close these thoughts now, so we have the reality of problem. Not only the reality of problem, but we have the reason for it. But the important thing tonight, before I fully close, is how do we respond to the problem of life? You and I, people are very, our reflexes is just, we react so much on problem. When you have problem, like here in America, medical problem or such, I learned you have to call right away 911. And the 911 does not react. It just respond to your need. And you and I, when we have problem in life, we don't just call 911. Do you know our number? We have an emergency. Jeremiah 33:3. God said, you got problem, you got an emergency number. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which you do not know. You know not. God will answer your needs in a most mighty, mighty way. How do we respond to that, my friend? Again, the word of God said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And just recognize that everything is a test. Let me put my... I was not able to ask the... Back home, our educational system back home, we have grade 1 to grade 6, then another 4 years in high school, then we have 5 years in college. And I try to figure out that is at least 15 years. But then I find out that in grade school or elementary, the only thing that the teacher is doing is teaching them and giving them tests. Because they were just kids, so the test is simple, 1 to 10, 1 to 20, because they were just kids. High school, they begin 1 to 100. But in college, begin to more difficult, calculus, trigonometry, more difficult things. Good night. Parents are paying the school just to make it test, 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 test. But the reason for all the tests is to prepare them after college or postgraduate, to prepare them for success in life, but they need to undergo the test. But what is important, not just attending or having tests, you have to pass the test. In our life, we are being tested by God, but you and I have to pass the test of life. In the Bible, my friend, first thing that we need to do is to pass the test of obedience to God. Obedience to the word of God. Again, I look at the word of God in book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. And that, the book of the law, you will have not to turn from the left, but in the book of the law you will meditate upon it night and day that you may observe to do what is written therein. That is obedience, obeying the word of God. And God said, when you are able to do that, God will give you what? Good success. not just success. We look at a lot of people and we begin to say, hey, my friend is successful. No, no, no. That is the success of the world. When God blesses, He added no sorrow. If it is of the Lord, God said, He will give you good success, and whatever you do will prosper. That is when you pass the test of obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you will remember that, if you put that in your notes, read it again. Read it sometimes tonight or tomorrow. Read it. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28, one of my favorite verse in the Word of God. And it says there, when you learn to diligently fear the Lord and observe all that He has commanded thee and do all that is commanded, the Word of God said, the blessing will run after you. Could you imagine? You will not have to look for the blessing. The blessing will run after you. Oh, what a joy to have that. You will not be a tail, you will be the head. You will not be a borrower, but a lender. What a joy to know. And whatever you do will prosper. That is when will that happen? When you learn to pass the test of life. My friend, let me close these thoughts tonight for the sake of time. I didn't ask my time, Richard. I still have another 5 minutes and I'll do that. Thank you very much. In my thoughts, in my heart, when you pray, I did ask myself until I find the answer from the Word of God. What are you imagining when you close your eyes and bow your head and you begin to talk? Whom are you talking to? You're talking to God. But what is the image that you are talking to? And my mind is, how you are talking to a great God, how big do you think God is? And I find the answer in the Word of God, Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? And what is the place of my rest? God's throne is in heaven, not just the firmament. But way, way up there is another vast of water. And way, way up is God's abode. He said, that is His throne, and its footstool is in earth. The question is, how big God is? God is immeasurable. You cannot measure God. God is incomparable. You cannot compare Him with Superman, with Avenger. There is no way you can compare God. He is incomprehensible. God is big. Man is blind, but believers are blessed by God because our God is big, bigger than your problem, bigger than our health situation, bigger than our family conflict, bigger than financial situation or emotions. God is big. That's why when David was looking at Goliath, he looked at Goliath, just saw he's small. He said, my God is bigger than you are. And if we are focused on the big God, we will see our problem just so little. A man was with his son. They look upon the sky and the father said, look at the airplane. Son, that is a big airplane. Jumbo 747. And the son said, no, Dad, it is just small. And the son began to look, it's not big, it's just small. And they were close to an airport. The dad said, okay, let's pass by the airport. And they went to the airport. And the father, holding his son, said, I'd like you to see what you are like to look at that airplane up there. You think it's small. And they went a little bit closer where the big jumbo 747, and the son and the father said, son, that airplane that you see is small. That is so huge and so big. Wow! The son said, it's big. Do you know when it was big? When he come closer to the airplane, then it's big. If you are away from the will of God, away from God, you look at God as if God is so far, far away. But you, if you draw nigh to God, you will see God is bigger than you could have ever thought of. God is big. He is before all things, created all things, sustained all things, upheld all things. Could you imagine when God spoke, His word began to move, not with the speed of the light, but with the speed of the sound, and it begins to create the heavens and the earth, the moon, the stars, and everything, the meteor, the solar system, the Milky Way, and all the way yonder. He created that in the power of His word, and He sustained it. Could you imagine just a small tilt of an axis, everything up in heaven will explode. But He was able to sustain. That is how great our God is. He created all things, sustained all things, upheld all things, knew all things, complete all things, rule all things, and in control of all things. I want you to realize, I like to boast and to think about God. God is alive, my friend. Able and is available. You call on somebody, it's busy, not available, cannot reach. But God is always available, alive, able, and available. And He is real. It's not a figment of imagination. He is real, reliable, and reasonable. Gave us 6 days a week. He asked only for one day, Sunday. And sometimes Sunday is only a couple of hours, not exactly the entire day. And God is so reasonable that He gave you the strength, the wisdom, and everything that you need to work for your life. So God gave you everything that you need to sustain your life. And God said, okay, I gave you 90% so you can live. I only ask for 10%. And yet sometimes we even rob God of the 10%. God is so, so reasonable. And God is one that protects, the one that provides, one that promotes, the one that preserves, the one that gives us peace. That is the kind of God we have. My friend, the reason why I'm saying that, I just wanted you to challenge you tonight, my friend, as I close. God is bigger than you could have ever think of. He made the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. God's promise is the very projection of who He is. God is not a liar. When He said the promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you because I am with you. And I challenge you tonight, problem is not a problem. It is a test. Last July, pastor of 1924, I was after a series of medical examination, laboratory, MRI, ultrasound and everything. The doctor finally declared and told me with all the diagnosis, he diagnosed me with a fourth stage cancer on my prostate. I said, wow, fourth stage cancer. And of course, I begin to think about it and how I will respond. Will I react? Will I respond? And I look at the Lord, I need an answer from the Word of God, and I begin to look at the Word of God. And I find in the life of Job, Job was especially chosen of God. Job was a righteous man, hated sin. But God wanted to have a showcase of His faithfulness, a testimony of God's goodness. But Job has to run into a lot of tests of life. Everything was taken away. All his wealth, all his things that he has was taken away. All his children died. Then he has some illness from head to toe. And then the wife doesn't agree with him. Everything just went wrong with Job. But Job said, God give it, God take it away. And he passed the test of time. When he did that, because his eyes is focused on God, that God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God never made a mistake. And when he was focused upon God, God returned it back to him twice as much. But he was a living testimony and a showcase But he has to go through that. Same thing with Joseph. His life is up and down, up and down. He knew the promise of God, he will be a leader. And the parents and brothers will bow down before him. But everything went wrong. But again, he surpassed and passed the test of faithfulness to God. But he began to be a testimony and a showcase. Eventually, he was the second leader and saved the entire Egypt simply because he was used of God. And I look at my life, I said, wow, I am chosen by God. This illness is a choice of God. God said, rejoice when you fall into this difficulty. God wanted me to have a testimony how I will respond to my illness. God give it, God take it away. And I found Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Nebuchadnezzar asked them, these three Hebrew young men, your Lord, your God will deliver you from the furnace that has been heated 7 times. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, my God surely will deliver us because our God is great. But he said, but if not, we will still not bow before you. We will still believe and serve God. And I look at my illness. If God will help me, praise the Lord. But if God will heal me, God will still be God in my life. There is no stopping. I'll still serve God. I will still live my life with God. Because God never commits mistake. My friend, whether you see, God's desire is for you and for me to be blessed by God. To be blessed by God and to fulfill the promise of God. He came that you might have life, a more abundant, meaningful, blessed life. You need to pass the test of time. Do not look the problem as a problem. It is a test. My challenge, please pass the test of life. And God said, I will open the windows of heaven wherein you have no place to contain it. Pass the test. Shall we all rise up, please? Gracious, gracious, loving Heavenly Father.